Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
I don't know. I'm like, my brain's just like slightly mush, but it'll be okay.
Well, just embrace it.
Yeah.
Like embrace
Dice
the mush.
Dice was just a lot. Like I literally just started speaking to people and then stopped speaking to people when Dice ended. Like it was like every day I lost my voice several times because of Vegas plus very deep voice plus whatever. I don't know. I was chugging like little shots of honey the whole week. It was kind of funny.
We sounds cool. Good.
See, that could have been. See, right there, that what you just said, that's content for the show.
That yeah, could yeah, have been yeah, content for the show, right, but we wasted yeah. it. So, what's up, everyone? We're back. Keeping it. This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining right now, we've got Aki and Purnell. How are you two doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, doing all right. Looking forward to rolling around on the floor for an hour after this, and also looking forward to what's to come on this episode.
What? Rolling?
Exercise! Yeah, I have the same question, Joe. Rolling around? What?
Exercise!
I thought you did, like, DDR. You're, like, doing, like, rolling around.
I do all that stuff, dude. Weird kickboxing stuff. I do a lot of Russian twists.
They need to make a
Yoga Hero.
New arcade sensation, Yoga Hero.
I'd play that shit.
Where would you play it?
Whoever gets it, I'm in. I want Yoga Hero.
What city would you go to play it?
Well, I know where I wouldn't go to play it. Probably Beatdown City, because I'm going to tell you something. The name alone tells me that people get down there. Time to do yoga.
I hear there is treachery in Beatdown City. And we are so bad at segues. To chat about that today. Sean Alexander Allen, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing all right. You know, a little stressed. You know, we got our launch coming up, so that means stuff has to get done. So there's a lot of just juggling things. But also, you know, I'm very optimistic. I'm also juggling, like, getting folks to GDC. Oh, geez. And, like, getting myself to GDC and then planning for PAX, which is the same week as GDC. Where my business partner is going to go to PAX. I'm going to be at GDC all week till Friday, then go up. But we're like, you know, this is actually going to be our first time that we have our own standing booth. Because we've had like PAX Rising, and we've had like the indie mini booth, like things that were small, but we never had like a thing that we had enough time to plan for. So we're excited for that. But, you know, just planning.
So it sounds like you're pretty much on the whole tour right now, running the circuit.
Basically.
Okay. Yeah, I have never been to a PAX or a GDC. Are those fun events to go to? Or are they just stressful?
Games events are interesting for me because it's a weird phenomenon where I have these people who I've spent less than a week with my entire life, and I've known them for 10 years. And they're some of my closest relationships. Like, you know, we've talked on like Zoom or whatever, but like in person, because we see each other at events. But like, there's a certain camaraderie and understanding. Like, we did our Kickstarter for Treasure from Beatdown City 9 years ago, like right around now. It was the first one, because I did two that year, because the first one failed. And it was like, you know, crashing and burning, and I was sitting at home being like, why, blah, 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 like, why is going on? How do I get anything going? The Kickstarter actually failed the day before, like the day I was going to GDC, like it failed the morning after. And then I got to GDC and everyone's like, oh, so what are you going to do? Like, you know, we hoped it had succeeded. So like, you know, just let us know how we can help. And, you know, that helped me kind of dust myself off. Then I went to PAX to show the game, and that's when we relaunched the Kickstarter. So, but like, it was just like, I like grew a family that GDC. Like, it was funny. Like, I just met like game critics that I really appreciated and game developers who just make really cool things, but also just good people who like wanted me to succeed despite barely knowing me. And that's been my experience for GDC. PAX is just stressful. I tend to do it myself. I'm really excited that I have like people to do it with this time, because I've done like 4 days of PAX by myself, standing for 4 days in a row. And that's
friggin' hell, man.
I don't think I can do that anymore. And I'm like, being now I'm 40, like,
like I can't speak for Joe on that, but like I've been to PAX. It's been a long time since I've been to PAX, but assuming it's anything like it was back when I was going, the crowd situation, especially in a booth, is probably where much of that energy burns out.
It's like kind of a double-edged sword, because it's really nice to be at a place where people are playing the game. And you don't get to do that a lot. And it's like something that if you aren't in a space seeing someone live playing your game, you don't get that like experience. There's no way, I don't know, there's no real way to get that any other way. And, you know, it's but also at the same time, it's like, it could be super demoralized. It's a funny thing. I remember being at a PAX where there were like the newly found influencer class. I saw them with like cameras on their heads, because this didn't exist, you know, when we started doing all this. And they had cameras like mounted to their heads, and they would just be like, nope, not playing that, don't care about that. Like, they're just like loudly shouting that. And, like, you know, I see people like walk up and just look at it for 1 second, be like, nope, moving on. Like, man, I was like, that was new.
And that's the sucky part there, too, because like that mindset exists in general. Like, people scout floors and decide what they want to play and what they don't want to play. But if they just look and walk away, you don't know why they did that, which makes it much easier to be like, okay, well, whatever. When the person wants to play, they're going to walk up. But to just be loud and expressive like that just seems kind of skanky.
It's dickish. Big time dickish.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would not like that. That would piss me off.
Well, one question I want to ask, because your game will be coming out.
Before that, we should cover the basics first. For the people who don't know what Treachery and Beatdown City is, tell us, what is this game?
That's been my struggle for the last 10 years to explain this to people. I don't know. I like to
pitch time. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Everybody always says like, don't do this, but like there's multiple levels of it. There is the quickest way I can say it is I say it's like Double Dragon meets Fallout's Vats, where it's like it's a beat 'em up in spirit, but it's got like just a lot of other elements to it that it's definitely a lot more personal than a beat 'em up. Like it's based on a lot of like growing up in the city, and it's like, what if the people who shouted things at you, what if you could then take them to town, but then like you then have to like pick them apart methodically rather than just three punches and they're down. So it's got a bit more of a wrestling vibe or fighting game vibe. And that's because I really love, Fire Pro Wrestling series and Street Fighter. And I mean, I've loved fighting games, wrestling games, and like turn-based RPGs and real-time RPGs for like, I don't know, since I could play them on other people's consoles. And like Street Fighter 2 was my shit. Like, and I would play it at a friend's house. Double Dragon, Bad Dudes, all that stuff. And then Zelda, and then Final Fantasy when I was like 12, like that was out on Super Nintendo. And, you know, you go to your friend's house to play Final Fantasy 6 or 3, like piece by piece over the course of a year to try to beat it. Like, you know, those games were just really inspirational. So like, I guess I kind of wanted to make a game where all the characters just have a lot more personality. They all have like behavior that you have to figure out. It's interesting. Like, yeah, I say it's like a beat 'em up, and then it's like, but it's actually kind of a subversion of a beat 'em up. It's a lot more personal.
I love seeing the
vibe I got from it.
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say the vibe I got from it, which seems like what you were kind of leaning into there, was that I got the Double Dragon from the look of the imagery and the art style you chose, and I got the Vats from seeing like clips of the game having you choose moves and what to attack. But I guess there's also some River City Ransom in there too, right? Because you can customize your characters, can you not? Like, can you like grow them in certain ways, which determines more of what you can do with that VAT system?
We kept the game very gated in what you get. We just decided we didn't want to have a shop. I don't know. It's funny, like River City Ransom was not actually an inspiration because I didn't play it as a kid. A lot of people say our game has that vibe, and I'm like, as an adult, I play it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I see like this and that, and I like the series. But like, you know, River City Ransom is interesting because River City Ransom was like this. If you made that game a roguelike today, like that would just be like, that would make 100% sense because it was a weird game where you had, you could randomly walk down, even in that old game, you could walk down the wrong road and fight the wrong gang and just get your shit taken, right? Like, but then it was also like a physics game, and that there was all this stuff about like kicking like barrels around and stuff that you could hit people. It had a lot of humor to it. It's a very super simple. It's interesting because like the stuff you unlock in River City Ransom actually makes the game like way easier because like the only people who are difficult are the like high level like gang members and whatever, and they're who you need the stone fists for and like the steps and everything, stone fist and whatever. But it's like this game that's all about exploring and doing this and doing that. Our game is like. Like, because we have this top-down map in it that's supposed to simulate the idea of scrolling.
Okay.
And then it allows you to actually see a lot of different locations without necessarily having to do the slow bit of scrolling, right? Like, it's kind of like we literally, like, played all these games and sat them all down and was like, what are the things that, like, we wanted to get around with those things? So the characters do grow, to answer that question. Everyone gets new moves. And we have... there's actually, we're going to be introducing, and then in like that's going to be fresh to the Ultra Remix thing, is because all the characters get revenge attacks at some point where they have like supers and whatever, and like they have elemental attacks. But in this new one, you're going to have to fight. You have these revenge, everybody has like rivals, and that's where you get your new moves from. But we're going to have revenge rivals where you're going to have to fight people that are like really overpowered and. That to get your revenge attack. And we had all these ideas of like, what if this was optional? What if this and that? And we ended up like making basically the only thing optional in the game is, do you want to go pick up that item or not? The fights that lead up to those are fairly simple. Like they're like, you're fighting joggers or bicyclists to make it kind of easy to get there. Everything is in your path, like basically. So like, it's, again, it's like the opposite of River City Ransom in that like you can't avoid anything. You're gonna have to, because part of this is also character growth. Like our game is like super story driven and super dialogue driven, whereas River City really isn't.
So what is the story? Is there like a core story tying it all together? Is it story centric by each character?
So the game has the overall like funny like president gets kidnapped by ninjas and you have to go rescue the president. But like there's little bits and pieces that if you like look at the intro or you look at any of the cutscenes, like there's something deeper there. Like the city has like a lot of turmoil going on.
Perhaps some treachery, if you will.
Yes, it's exactly like you were there to find out the treachery in Beatdown City, because it's actually like nothing is actually clear, like what's going on. Like the whole, like, you know, like in movies and whatever, everyone just accepts that your dad is the head of the chief of police and he's a good guy and you're there to go do the thing that he asked you to do. And that's the good thing to do. And there you go. Whereas our game is a lot more gray than that. A lot of that actually changed because, like, you know, we started making this story like 11-ish years ago, and I was a very different person then. And over the course of like the decade, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird that her dad's like the chief of police and nobody ever talks about that. Or, oh, this is kind of weird. Like, I didn't have these relationships to things until they really started like screaming in my face, since I was like, you know, a New Yorker watching everything and dealing with all this stuff my whole life. I didn't really even stop to think about. And so there's a lot of interpersonal like conversations. There's a little rivalries. There's people you meet, like high school friends on the street. You meet like, just there's ongoing running gags with characters that are just like there's an ongoing gag of people assuming that like the three characters we have, Bruce, Brad, and Lisa. So Bruce is a Jamaican American who grew up really poor, but he was a whiz kid and he became like really rich person. Then there's Lisa, who grew up kind of middle class. She's Puerto Rican, and her dad was a cop. But like her mom was a forensic scientist. She always wanted to do like science and art, but she's also like an underground like street fighter, which always puts her at odds with her dad. And then there's Brad, who's actually an illegal, not illegal, undocumented immigrant, in that he was like actually from like kind of a high class in Mexico, and then they kind of got sent out, like run out of the country, and he basically had to reestablish himself. But he's like a wrestler. He was in pro wrestling things until he decided not to take the dive that he was asked to do. And then the head of the organization threatened to deport him and his whole family. So he basically had to become a community worker. So he works at a community center. And so these are kind of these unlikely friends, kind of. It's like weird because there's a little bit of based on my real life and bits of I have like friends who are social workers, family members who are social workers, family members who are number whiz kids who are also obsessed with Jeet Kune Do and capoeira. Like there's a lot
Please
of like,
tell me that you're so secretly a luchador.
I really wanted to be a boxer, actually. So that's actually where Lisa's stuff comes from, is I thought about wanting to do boxing. And so then all this kind of creeps up as you're going. And actually, a large part of the beginning of the game is you're not actually moving, because the whole point of the first bit, which is what is also on Steam and everything right now, is you're going to City Hall to figure out where you go next. But the thing about getting to City Hall is that you have to go through the city of the literal worst people. So like people who want to like touch your hair and drunkenly shout at you and call you homeless, even though you're like well to do. And like, you know, just because you're a black person and they can't tell people apart or all these things, you basically have to fight all these people. And then a tech bro biker gang gets called in to try to kill you, but you don't know who did it. So there's all these little bits and pieces that are like, again, like these subversions where, you know, normally in a video game, the biker gang is the gang that you're fearing the whole time. But in our game, it's like, it's just a small piece of like a bigger pie.
So how big is the story? Is it a lengthy campaign?
Yeah, what's right now that's out is like kind of plays between, I think, 3 to 5 hours, depending on how people do. And like, and where, and like this Ultra Remix thing is tripling the size of the game because I always say I'm dumb, but I'm like, it's just an unwise decision. But like we had something to say, and we had made, because we had like for years, we were like, we're going to make 40 some odd characters, this and that, blah, blah. And we hit that actually with the first five levels of the game, and we actually had this idea of like a cliffhanger. We actually wanted to have cliffhangers happen at the end of a few episodes, but then we, you know, kind of ran out of money. But then I was like, you know what, we got a good thing here, we can expand on it later. But like the thing that's out and everything, the five levels, I feel like it's a very full experience. And you know, a lot of people that I know, they're like, they're just clamoring for more. They're like, when's the rest of the story? Like, I want more. Cause they really enjoyed like the writing and all that stuff. So they're just very curious. And what we're doing with this new bit is we're actually revisiting things that we couldn't. So quality of life stuff, like some of the UI, we're upgrading some of feedback from players of the game. We're upgrading. So like the game's going to actually feel complete, like very different from how it used to. But still the same, like, you know, still the same idea, but like literally there's like certain things that we changed even just recently, that were very minor, that actually just changes our, even the internal dev team's mindset when we're playing the game. So it was towards it's sort of the better. So that was really good.
So one question I have in regards to this game is, so it's a very retro style game, which for folks like myself, Joe, and possibly Aki too, that's a bonus. That's a plus. But there are people out there that like to look at games that are retro, and rather than give it a chance, they'll just go, ugh, that looks so 80s or old. I didn't buy my console for that or whatever. So with that in mind, knowing that your game is the hotness, as it were, what would you think you'd say to convince a person like that, if so, to say, give my game a chance? It's not just about the aesthetics. It's about what I produced in the game as a whole.
That's hard. I'm stubborn. I'm that person who's like, I'm not really not going to argue with somebody. I think if you're ignorant enough to not want to play like a game because of like a pixel art style, I mean, like I liken that to not wanting to see a painting because it's an abstract expressionism. That's all that is. I really dislike the last. It's really interesting because there's like a funny media landscape we have today where a lot of people at some of the bigger outlets that have been around for a long time. I actually used to be like a moderator on IGN's forums forever ago. And I used to be around for a lot of these discussions and seeing like, and like games step by and like all the big places just like hyping up some of the worst looking pixel art games. And then like, and then like shitting on all the like old games like Turtles, and they're just like, this is just Turtles the arcade. And I'm like, I never played Turtles the arcade because I couldn't afford to play the arcade when I had to play the Nintendo one. Like you can't just be like, oh, I played this, so this is my thing. I don't know. There was this weird dichotomy of like people shitting on old games, loving games that I think really didn't have a good sense of art style because people just were like, oh, cool, this is retro style. And then you're like, well, it's actually doesn't seem to have like a purpose, like doesn't have an artistic statement. And so that was part of what we were thinking when we went into this game. Like we went into it with Double Dragon on the Nintendo very specifically because of the color palettes, the like the forms, because, you know, we came to the Nintendo style from like, you know, from like pixel art from, you know, many years in the future. So we could pick what we wanted. And I picked something that evoked a feeling to me. And that also I felt like said a thing, and that's why we also have our weird like Ren and Stimpy like cutscene characters, because that was the other thing, like the idea of selling that like these little tiny people have a whole world and have all this really these weird grotesque faces. And then also that's why we put a lot of effort into our box art, because I feel like that's what old Nintendo games did, was that they were trying to tell you a story, and they were like, well, their character doesn't necessarily look like that, their character looks like this, but for intents and purposes while telling the story, the character looks like, you know, the little 8x8 character. But
yeah, the dude in Wizards and Warriors did not look like Fabio.
Yeah. I love that game. Well, that's the thing, the box art, you just like, oh, but actually, yeah, I mean, I loved like the weird clouds in that game, the angry looking clouds, like I love that art so much.
And the weird thing with his eyeballs being huge on his face for some reason, that was something that was very appealing too. Iron Sword,
it's funny, I actually didn't play that game as a kid. I read about it in Nintendo Power. That's actually how I experienced. This is why, like, I think games are, the visual art in games matters a little more to me, because that's how I experienced them. It was like me going through and looking at clothes in a catalog, because that's all I could do.
I mean, honestly, man, I
couldn't afford games.
I will tell you this without going into the whole shebang, but we are very similar in that regard. Stacks of Nintendo Powers and Turbo Graphics Mags and stuff for the same reason. Couldn't afford the stuff, but hey, you got a lot of information out of those walkthroughs.
Yep, it's beautiful.
It feels like today that... Oh, go ahead, Aki. You haven't said much. Go ahead.
I have a question. This is going back to something you said closer to the beginning about the game. You mentioned how the only optional stuff was basically whether you wanted to go get this item or not. I've only played the really old beat-em-ups because that's a genre that I'm just not good at personally. So the only items I know of are like, oh, you beat up this character and now you can pick up the metal pipe they had or the whip they had or something. What kind of items are these optional things that you can go and pick up? Is it stuff like that that you can only just use for like that level or whatever, or is it something that's permanent that you can just equip or something, or how exactly does that stuff work?
To first address your first thing, because that's actually one of the most interesting things I think about this game, was because we have a lot of fans who are not good at beat-em-ups. We have a lot of fans who are good at beat 'em ups because our game has this, because of the hybrid turn-based elements, the game does not value physical exertion over anything else. It actually, it feels visceral regardless of how you're trying to play it, which like I was talking to a friend who hadn't played the game until recently because she was really worried it was going to hurt her wrists. And she played it and she was like, yeah, I'm getting through it. Like really, stress-free because we put a lot of effort into making the game like really playable for a lot of different people. To that end, those extra items are boosts, so you do get weapons. That's actually one of the things we're fixed because we made weapons have no health because everyone complained about weapons having health and we were like, oh, we're not going to have health on the weapons. And then we realized that that breaks the entire game. if your weapons don't die, then like they don't ever go away. So then you can just like take everyone out with them. And so we actually are adding health to weapons, which means we will bring more weapons in because it won't break the entire game. So those are only per fight. People bring weapons to the fights. So because the game also has this like RPG layer, characters all have like can all get certain status buffs or debuffs. So you're picking up chicken. Of course, there's all these dumpsters just all over the place. You get chicken. There's FS cola, which is like to get fight points back. It's like fight someone cola. There's in our new trailer, we got that little commercial for Raging Sky. And that gives you your revenge attack meter back. If you find any of those, they're really beneficial. There's stuff like, there's just a lot of like off brand, like stuff. So in that sense, like for the Kunio, the River Sea Ransom games, we do have a lot of items that do a lot of things like that. We all tried to kind of match with the world. Like we have Defender Aid, which gives you, you know, some defense, and we have, we just have like little bits of we have Speed Demon, which is like it's like the text in the game is like it's a dubious substance that like gives you haste. There's the RKO energy drink, which there's a lot of like little hints to like wrestling and fighting and all these items, but these things all just make your life a lot better when you get them. But I always try to encourage people, like, I'm like, please use them because we give out items really liberally in the game and people just hog them. And I'm like, you're doing it wrong.
No comments on my playstyle.
Yeah. Everybody, I do it too. I do it too. I had to keep throwing away like a stick in Fallout because I was like weighing myself down like all the time. Like, and I'm just like, I don't use any of this stuff.
I'm going to need all these vacuum tubes. I swear I'm going to need all these vacuum tubes.
I'm so bad. I'm currently playing Atomic Heart, is one of the games I'm just playing for fun. And I haven't used a single bullet in that entire game so far.
Jeez.
I've stuck with melee the entire time. And I'm just
storing the heart mode, which is good.
Yeah, I'm just storing all the bullets because I'm like, at some point, maybe I'll need one with this boss. And I only have one gun at this point because I'm like, I don't really need the guns. And it's the shotgun. And I'm like, I'll keep that just in case I need it for a boss. And
it's like elixirs in Final Fantasy or mega elixirs in Final Fantasy. Where it's like, exactly. I'm going to need this for a boss. I'm never going to use this thing until I need it. And then the end of the credits roll and you have like 28 of them and you didn't use a one.
Yep. Yep, that is how I play everything.
So in this game, you have to use the weapons.
You should use... Well, yeah, that's the one thing. Like, weapons, they go away. Like, their weapons are only in fights that they're in. So if you don't use them...
Use them or lose them.
We put a lot of items in the weapon, in the fights, too. Like, we put, like, little newspaper stands and garbage cans and...
Do all the other items stick with you afterwards, like the sodas and stuff, or are they only for that one fight too?
The ones you find in the dumpsters, you have a whole inventory. But the ones you fight in fights, you need to use then and there.
Okay. Is there a way to, does it keep those separate in your inventory or anything, or I don't know.
Well, the ones in the fight, like you just use it immediately. Like it's like any of these like games where you walk over it, you press A and you use it immediately.
Okay.
But in the dumpsters, it just says you got like three like, you know, chicken small, and then that just goes in your inventory.
Okay. Nice. All right.
So what led to bringing it to Xbox? I know it's available on Switch right now. It's available on Steam right now. What led to Xbox being the next platform?
I've had a good relationship with Xbox for a long time because of I was part of the leadership of a team for this conference, the Game Dev Color Expo, and I met a lot of people at Xbox who, you know, just we kind of talked a lot, and they were able to help out a bit with porting funding, which was helpful. And that was like, and they were very like aggressive in helping me. Like they were like, here's kits. Here's this, here's that, you know, like, instead of like me having to go and being like, can I have a kit? And then come back to me 6 months later being like, ah, we're still back order. They just like, you know, I had like Xbox One, like the X, like dev kit just sitting in my apartment, like a week after like getting approved, which was really awesome, even though we weren't necessarily ready to get into the hardware, or I'd be like, oh, my programmer like needs a kit, like can you get one? And it's like, yeah, there you go. So it's just been very been like really smooth transition. You know, we want to get it out on all the consoles. We're hoping PlayStation, we're still in the middle of figuring that out. You know, this is like this is an important game. Took a long time through many jobs and many pieces of life, and we just want to make sure that it's out for everybody, and just like we're going to be putting it out in physical at some point too, and ooh, like it's going to get the life of what a game can do, and then, you know, and then we'll be moving on. But it's I think 2 years we definitely were able to be able to make some deals through stuff over the course of the years to have some additional development funding also that allowed us to do this like big push. Like we hired, I thought we were going to be done in 4 months and that we only needed one person, and we hired on an extra 4 programmers in June of last year. And we're down to 3 programmers, mostly because the 2 of the programmers are still very senior. They came in, they became very senior. We got to reduce the amount of people that are touching everything. We're also just over those 4 months. So, but like, it's been very good. It's just been very exciting to make sure that all the, I don't know, this game is just like my creative, like brainchild. I think about how like, I used to watch Mad TV with Jordan Peele, and Michael Keegan Key. And then they had Key and Peele. And I was like, they finally got to do, you know, their own thing. And then Jordan Peele got to do Get Out. And I'm like, I feel like this is like that. It's like, we're just trying to get this out to as many people as possible. And, you know, also the Xbox isn't hard to develop for, which is nice as well.
Question in chat, Javors was asking, was it the ID at Xbox team that helped you out, or was it a bigger team at Xbox?
Yeah, that's ID. That's all the indie stuff. So that's basically what that kind of is, I guess.
Nice.
And yeah, they were really... they were really proactive with, because I actually got to debut the new trailer at the New York Video Game Awards or the New York Game Awards, and where they were giving Phil Spencer like the Legend Award or whatever, the Lifetime Achievement Award, and so I got to like just go up and I actually got to talk to him about this game like briefly, and you know, that was cool. That was like, and he was like, oh man, yeah, that was a cool trailer, and it was like, that was pretty awesome to drop that there. And but yeah, like those, they've been working really hard. I appreciate Xbox really wants indies on their platform, and they make it very apparent with the way that they help.
Yeah, it's great to see more indies hitting Xbox. This is one that was like kind of on my radar, but I mainly stick to Xbox games, so I didn't really get to it. But now that it's hitting Xbox, I'm friggin' thrilled about it. And does it have a release date, or is it just sometime in April?
April 27th is when it should be releasing. You know, that's always the
planned release date, as long as nothing goes sideways, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're just wrapping up a ton of stuff. We just like got all the achievements done, and those are fun.
Anything fun you can share with us? Any fun achievements?
Most of them are maybe slightly obvious, but fairly obscure rap track references or album references. Like, so like, and you won't know what any of them do, like from like we've got a lot of Wu-Tang references in there. Like there's one that's like, I could say there's one. So in the game, if you get attacked from behind, you can use turn around to turn around. And it's like, it's kind of like this. You get punished for not watching your back, because like if you get hit from behind, you get hit with critical damage, which can really be brutal, like especially with the newer enemies, because like there are enemies that'll hit you with exposed, which will make you do 1.5x damage. And then if you get hit from behind, you get hit with 1.5x damage. So there are these enemies that'll just roll up, distance strike you from behind at 3x damage. And it's like, you don't want to get caught with that. So we have one that's like, so you have to use turn around, which takes a little bit of FP. So it's all about like knowing your space and making sure that you're, because like a big thing of the game, big thing of actually like Double Dragon, and I'm going to come back to this, but the big thing about Double Dragon, if you play Double Dragon, the old games, like Yoshihisa Kishimoto, like the guy who was like the lead on those games, he really wanted those games to feel like a Bruce Lee fight. So like if you play Double Dragon 1 on the Nintendo, two of the same enemies come out, but if you don't do anything, one will always try to flank you and go around you, because he really liked that idea of you always being surrounded. So he based a lot of the way the game works, that enemies always, that when you have three enemies on the screen or two enemies on the screen, one of them's always going to try to get to your back. So we have a achievement called Protect Your Neck.
Nice.
Which is use like turn around like 10 times or
very
something.
Very nice.
So like we have ones. Yeah. So it's a long, I also just love to talk about, like, cause we sat with Double Dragon on the Nintendo. We sat with a lot of these games and we watched the behavior to figure out like how we wanted to build everything, because we were like, and we saw that, we were like, oh man, that's cool. Like you have to be intentional about having people try to flank you. Like we've worked, basically it's funny, we've worked with like Double Dragon on Nintendo. We've also worked with like a programmer friend of ours who like literally gave us the tools with how like he didn't work on the Batman games, but he knew how, like, because like games use list systems that have enemies that come in and out, which is why enemies don't always attack you at the same time, because they can't. They're just there to look menacing. Because internally there's a logic that like this enemy is going to go before this enemy unless you get too close to that other enemy. There's a lot of, because otherwise it would just be chaos. But I like to talk about like that, because it was just like, it's like people look at these games, they're like, ah, things just happen. And I'm like, nah, man, like there's so much stuff even back like 40 years ago that people were really thinking about.
That's so cool. We mentioned music. That leads me to the next question. The composer of the game, I've heard of him before, Mr. Inverse Phase. Tell us how you got to work with him.
Yeah, it's funny. We, once upon a time, this wasn't a game. This was just a project. This was like a, let me try pixel art. Let me try this thing. Let me try that thing. And like, I did have like this aspiration for, I've been trying to make video games since I was a teenager, but never really went anywhere with any of them. And I was like, let me come up with just the aesthetics of like an old game. And I made the intro to the game, which used to be like a string of photos. And I had to basically keep drawing and relearning. Like it took me many, many, many passes to get the art to a point where I liked it in the beginning of the game. And I heard, I just looked up chiptune stuff. This was a long time ago. Like, this was over 10 years ago. And I was like, chiptune song something or whatever. And I found the Inverse Phase's cover of CeeLo Green's like, Fuck You. and it's a great, it's really good. And I thought it was hilarious. And I was like, let me buy this track. To use it in this little animation that I'm doing. Cause I also, my ex-wife and her friend were doing this little comedy show that they were putting on YouTube. So I made like a little animated short of, a character in the game, but it was still just pixel art of a bicyclist running at, like driving right at the group shouting, watch out. And the group's just standing there. on the sidewalk, and the person on the bike's just like, watch out. And then Brad turns around and does like his blazing like lariat and like takes the biker bicyclist out. Because he's like, why are you running at us? Right. Essentially, like, you watch, you turn around, you move around us. We're standing here. But like, it was really great with the inverse phases track. And I went on Twitter and I was just like, man, I just became a fan of inverse phase. I really hope that we could work together. And then he reached out over Twitter. And then the two minute intro song was the first song that we worked on together. And yeah, we just wrapped like the soundtrack recently. One of the interesting things is, I have beliefs about like lengths of songs and how you can get like a good hook. You know, like a lot of old music has very short hooks that are like timeless, and I want music to feel fairly timeless and not like, and a lot of composers want to be, I don't know, like do more in a track, even though I think it doesn't necessarily, like we see with video game music a lot, it doesn't, more isn't better a lot of times. Like video game music often misses out on motifs and things, so it just is not, it just sounds like things happening. It sounds like epic score, but doesn't sound like the Star Wars soundtrack, right? Like it's like, because it doesn't have these things that it keeps resting on. And so that's, we worked to build a lot of that stuff in. And we had one map song for the first five maps of the game, and that was partially because it didn't have a whole lot of money. But recently Inverse went back and did four new map songs to, so now that all first five maps all have their own personality, and nice. So I'm excited about that. And it's interesting to hear, you know, the new tracks versus the old tracks. And he looked at, a track that I have of my dad's, like I never met my dad, but I have some of his music, and like, he was a rocker who at CBGB's in New York. And so I actually had to buy a record of his off of eBay for $150. Like it's like a, like the mini one. And I was like, hey, could you like do something with this? So there's a track that like has the vibe, a little bit of the vibe of one of those tracks. And so it's even sneaking some more personal stuff in there.
That is really awesome. I've known Brendan for a long, long time. It was cool to see his name on the store page. I'm like, yes, someone I know is working on a cool game. I know he ran Magfest for a while. Have you ever been to Magfest?
Strangely, no. It just always never aligned with what I could do. It was weird.
No, and we got to get you to Magfest.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget, like, cause I don't know, January was always a weird time.
Yeah, it's a pretty awful time for a convention. Let's do it like 2 weeks after Christmas when everyone has tons of money.
Going back to work. I feel like that was always the thing, was that, you know, you come off of Christmas break with just due deadlines and stuff. That,
yeah, it's fun though. Like Cornell goes to know Fest too.
Yeah, I have a few friends who go, some dev friends who go and show their games, and yeah, I've heard good things, although also that whole like the arcade is open forever is always a little frightening, because I'm like, I don't want to be here showing my game, and I'm like, I'm gonna take my laptop at like 5 p.m and I'm peacing out, because I'm not staying here till midnight.
The whole arcade being open later so you can actually enjoy the show after you're done working, like you go back to your room, take a quick nap, come down at night when everybody else is in bed and get your game on.
But what if I want to go listen to music? That's what I'd rather do, honestly.
Well, then in that case, you skip the bedtime. You do your promos, then go to concerts, then go to the game room, and then never sleep.
I mean, that's how a lot of people
sleep
do
Magfest. Sleep is for the weak.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like coming off of Dice Summit. I got there on 3 hours of sleep to Vegas, and I was up till like 12:30 a.m. waiting for my business partner, because his flight was like it was like an hour delayed, and he got in just really late. And then we proceeded to stay up till 5 in the morning, listening, like watching the Fast X trailer, listening to like just ludicrous DMX albums. Cause like my business partner, I went to high school with, so we're like, we don't, you know, we get to, and now I don't live in New York anymore, so we don't get to hang out as much, but like, I don't know. It was just like, it was funny. I'm like, my voice is almost shot at the end of the first day, and I'm going to sleep at 8 a.m. basically my time. And then I went to sleep at 5 a.m. and then got up at 8 because that's when breakfast is the next day. I got up in 3 hours and just go to breakfast, did the whole day again. So I know about that sleep grind. I mean, Dice is interesting because there's just it's small events. So it's easier to talk to people and I have just a lot of friends who go there, and it's an event that I've learned is just important for business. So it was like really nice to go and just see so many people. And Vegas is weird, but seeing good people is great. So it's also infectious because I used to live in New York City, like Manhattan, and now I live in the suburbs of Atlanta, and that's really kind of strange. Like I gotta drive an hour to get into the city to see people, basically. So going to Dice is like, it's just people overload, and it's really refreshing.
Yeah, still
going to New York.
Yeah, I live in a podunk little town too, so seeing humanity is always fun for me when I go to MAGFest. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I've just heard good things. I just remember I chase the people that go to MAGFest, like that play there. I chase them like elsewhere, like me and Mega Ran are homies, and me and Samus are homies. So like, I'm like, I'll go see you wherever you are. Mega Ran came down to MomoCon last year, and like they had there was a 4-hour DJ and rap set, which was like amazing. Like, good and Lord. So I was like, cool, I get to just go here. And then we went to Waffle House.
Before you can get some more treachery and beat down Diner.
Diner, yeah.
Think about that a lot.
It's like, being that you're from New York, was that a means of getting you in touch with a lot of these artists as well? Because I want to say a number of them are originate from New York City.
Inverse I met online. Mega Ran, I don't know, he's from Philly, but by way of Arizona, I guess. But I met him at events, right? Like game events, maybe a concert. I think we also met on Twitter because that's just where people go. I met Open Mike Eagle in New York at a concert, and I just went and talked to him after a concert. This was 8 years ago. That's pretty wild. Like to a venue that doesn't exist anymore, which is pretty sad. But that was a great concert, and it was just like, it's funny, Mike always talks about how approachable he is and how he also doesn't like new people very much. So I'm always thankful that he accepted me into his career. It's like funny because he's like one of my favorite, became one of my favorite musicians 8 years ago. And it's a privilege to be able to work with him.
That is so cool. It's crazy to see how long and how old some of these friendships have been that I know I've created through just online over the years, and how far people have gotten. Pernell, I know our good friend Dale North, he's gotten pretty far musically. And we've known him since the first MAGFest 20 years ago, which is just crazy.
I think that's when I met you.
Yeah, MAGFest 1. We're getting old, man. We're getting...
My back!
Oh, my back does hurt. Speaking of, I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
One thing I wanted to, I can't stress how great it is to know Tumelo, who has done the production on the rap tracks that we've had for the trailers that we also put on the line. Cause Tumelo is just another homie that I met, I think, at Gamer X when Tumelo was working on Read Only Memories or whatever. And we just, he came to me. I remember he had Chrono Trigger, and I was like, I hate Jay-Z on a personal level. And he was like, why? And I was just like, cause he likes to big time people as a capitalist. And then many years later, it became very apparent. I remember that was one of those things where he was like, that's the first thing you said to me. I've heard a lot of your music, but you hate Jay-Z. And then one day he was like, I see what you mean. I don't know. I love his music tremendously. And the fact that we were able to give Inverse Phase's beats to him or his tracks to him, and then he just makes this cool extrapolation is awesome. We also got a remix coming up because we have a remix of the first track, the Beatdown City one, with a rapper that I love, Show You Suck, who's from Chicago. And the new remix is going to be with Show You Suck and Steve Rydell, who goes by the Hood Internet, and they go together as the air credits. So I'm really excited for this launch trailer because it's going to just be like this whole, it's going to be mostly the same track with like a whole different vibe. And I'm trying to figure out how to cut a trailer to it right now. I used to make trailers at Rockstar forever ago. That's where I used to be. Like I left 2012. So 11 years ago, it's really wild to say like that. I worked on GTA 4 through 5, and then I left before 5 really kicked into gear. It was happening.
And they're still
I
just releasing only worked on 5. One
trailer for it. Yep. Yeah, it was funny. Like people want to know about like secrets and stuff. Like, and like I get people who are like, "Don't tell anybody," and I'm like, "Man, I didn't work at Rockstar, and I never told anybody that I knew that like GTA 5 was coming out." Someone had told me, they were like, "Yeah, it's coming out on like the next gen consoles, like PS4, PS, and Xbox, or yeah, and Xbox One." And I remember I was sitting at E3 with Katsuhiro Harada, the producer on Tekken, and Mike Murray, who's another one of the high level people at Tekken. I have strange friends in the games industry. Like I'm like, I'm really bad at Tekken, but I like hang out with like the guy who makes the game.
That's amazing.
and I just remember them announcing something and me being like, GTA 5 on PS4. We were at the PlayStation like thing. And then it was like, and then you heard the Michael talk, and I was like, and they were like, "How did you know?" And I was just like, I just had a feeling. I knew it was coming out, but like the way they described the next game they were showing, I was like, all right. But I'm like, I don't even spill secrets of people I don't like. So that's like, I don't know. The industry is a very interesting place to just know. Like, it's like, you know so much about so many things, and there's so many things to be excited about that you can't talk about. But yeah, like
NDAs are a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, right now I'm really excited just about, like, I'm doing a lot of, I'm working with the Black Voice in Gaming Group, their nonprofit accelerator that's run by my homie Justin Woodward, who I've known for 9 years, since EVO 2013. Yeah, so almost 10 today. Years, actually.
Like, you're talking about the thing where, like, I think I saw you today, your game is on Steam with a number of other games being promoted under that label.
Yeah, so, like, Justin brought that. Justin has been doing a lot of stuff, Media Indie Exchange, the Guerrilla Collective, and when 2020 hit, Justin was like, I gotta do something bigger than this. And so that's where the Black Voice in Gaming thing came from. We were able to help a bunch of devs come out to DICE last week, or a couple of weeks ago. We're helping people get to GDC right now. So that's like a lot. It's like when people are like, How like, what's up with you, Sean? And I'm like, man, I'm planning meetings for GDC. I'm coming off of DICE. I'm planning to get people to GDC while trying to get this video game out. And it's like interesting work, because it's like I can't let that piece go. The helping folks go, because the games industry is like just funny in that it can be very difficult for Black folks and other underinvested in people. And I'm thankful to be where I'm at, but I just know that I'm a stubborn asshole who like just I come from not a lot, and I've had to headbutt my way upwards. But I know most people don't want to do that. Most people like get discouraged. I'm talking to devs right now who are like, after I finish this game, I'm not making any more games. We're like, man, like, so. I don't know. That's like, I just think that that's always something to keep in the back of your head, is that there's so many people making cool things, and just keep an eye out, and definitely keep an eye out on Black Voice and Gaming stuff. Cause you know, we're just trying to give those folks the keys to the castle, like all the tips. I mean, we can't make their games for them. We can't market their games, but we can encourage the hell out of people and just give them little bits of advice that we have picked up along the way to help.
Speaking of what's next, what's next for your studio after Treachery?
I can't really say much. All I'll say is I look at every one of these tweets about Creed 3 being anime influenced, and I feel like me and Ryan, not Ryan Coogler, well, I think me and Ryan Coogler are on the same shit, like wavelength a lot of times, but I think me and Michael B. Jordan are completely on the same wavelength of that. We're interested in making boxing stuff focused on black fighters with like an anime lean. And I'm also in love with Jonathan Majors. So, like, you know, we got that going on. So that's a little bit where my head's at. That's definitely one way that we're leaning in the future. I look forward to like talking more about that when it's ready. Cause like I learned to, I having a game that you announced 10 years before it comes out is, not a good look. The next time we'll be like, we know we got like 2 years till it comes out or something. And, you know, like I'm not going to do it that early ever again. And you got to do it like in the right place, the right time also. I mean, I've learned a lot over the last 10 years. It's funny working in AAA, like I did not learn as much because I was always like sheltered by like, you know, if we got like a bad review or bad comments on the trailers, even like, you know, we got a lot of good comments also. And the game's always sold like 30 million, 50 million, I don't know, whatever copies, made billions of dollars. And I'm like, now I'm having to do my own stuff. And it's like, I gotta, you know, I just gotta focus more on like how to talk about it and all that stuff.
No, whenever you have more to talk about, you're always welcome to come back on the show. But we do have to move on. We have a lot more show that we got to take care of. I want to thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm on. Oh man, that's like the biggest like bummer right now is like literally building a Twitter presence for like 10-ish years and to have a, it's literally part plot of my game is like a billionaire coming to just smash like all the black creators like that created the thing and be like, you don't get a place anymore. On Twitter, I'm Sean, S-H-A-W-N, spelled out double A. There's beatdown_city on Twitter. There's beatdowncity.com, new challenger, nuchallenger.com. Those are my places. I'm working on a mailing list right now where I'm going to be talking about a lot of this actual, I talked a lot about like beat 'em up, like breakdowns and game design breakdowns a long, long time ago. I had a blog up for that. I'm actually going to be bringing back a lot of that stuff and kind of revisiting that. Like I did games criticism for myself like 20 years ago. So, that's how I became a game designer was I wrote about the things I liked and did not like about games. And that helped me have a vocabulary. When I went to things like GDC, like I could actually hang with people who had been in the games industry for like 20 years at that point. My first GDC was 11 years ago. And I would hang around the NYU Game Center like around that time too. And these were like people who had been doing games for a very long time. And I found I could talk with them because I just wrote about this stuff. So I'm going to be bringing a lot of that stuff back for, we're going to doing a mailing list to also just, you know, just keep us in the, because I don't know, like trying to be a small company and keep in people's minds and making sure that they remember we exist, is difficult. I often make myself very small these days online. So, because I'm usually working on all the stuff.
Oh, so, we absolutely understand that feeling. We're 10 years and we still get like double digit views. So, so it's tough to find an audience. And hopefully this game does really well on Xbox. I'm excited to see it come out. You said April 27th is going to be available on Xbox. So maybe we could get you back on closer to release and chat some more again.
Yeah, I'll know more. I have a few more things that I can talk about that are like, you know, start peeling back the skin.
Nice. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. Purnell, that is it for you for this episode. Aki, you got to stick around. Me, you, and Jacob are going to be chatting in a couple of minutes. Got to play a little bit of music in between segments. So what do you say we go out with some Inverse Phase playing Fuck You? Sound good?
I'm in. Put in that funky track.
All right. Sounds good. Sean, thank you so much. Do you have any final words to end the interview?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me here. I had a good time.
waiting on Jacob.
Standard. Yeah, let's see what if he. Do? Oh, nope. He's already late. Never mind.
I just saw him pop online, so.
Still fucking late.
He might be jumping in here. There he is.
You're late.
Yeah, of course.
Almost 2 full minutes late, even. Tisk, tisk.
There was so much in your life you could have accomplished in that frame of time.
And I did, because I didn't need you for any of it, thank God.
What did you do in 2 minutes?
Late. I don't... Stuff! You don't need to know. Leave me alone.
Well, I mean, it didn't take more than 2 minutes.
I conquered Namibia, so. God damn it. My country now.
I did kill a bunch of robots in that time. I mean, that counts.
Your own plastic robots?
No, no, God, no, those take hours. Tom Hart. I'm still playing that. I'll be playing it throughout the entire thing today.
What are you playing?
That's how I'm going to focus today. Atomic Heart.
Atomic Heart, yeah.
I've finally picked up
the best weapon. You have other things you can be playing.
Yes. Yes, I do. You are correct. But most of those are in... Well, one of them's in stalling right now.
Oh, that's fair.
So, you know, once that's done, then I'll be playing that, but that'll take me like a day.
You know two. The games install slower if you're playing while installing, yeah. Right? Okay.
Yeah, but I want something to do or else I won't be paying any attention.
You could do a podcast.
Yeah, but I can't focus unless I'm playing something or listening to something or watching something.
You could be listening, to us.
Yeah, I need more than just you, though, is the thing. Like,
well, that's why I'm here, too.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't, why. that if anything, that makes it worse.
Now it's just like a kinky three-way. No, that's Joe, usually, I need more than just you.
You know, that's why you usually whore. I have another podcast up, a music videos playing. That's
another why I have younger, better, sexier podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're only on year two.
I have
and they have 40 viewers.
I don't want to hurt your feelings, so I'm not going to say anything about any of that stuff.
It's like, yeah, it's actually 40,000, but...
Yeah, but they just started 2 weeks ago. They just really...
Not quite that new, but...
A month and a half newer. Old.
They're probably...
Okay, it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah. they're probably a few months.
Jacob, how's things going with you? You missed the interview.
What interview?
The interview.
Exactly.
The retro beat down city. Sean was here hanging out with us, chatting about the game. It'll be coming out next month, at the end of next month on Xbox. Gonna be fun. Game sounds fun. Yeah, should have been there.
Probably.
It sounded like a game you might even like. So it's a shame you weren't there. You were off being a loser or something.
He was off like working or something weird.
Ugh. Who fucking chooses to work? Ugh.
I don't, not willingly anyway.
Work schmuck.
Yeah,
it's unnecessary. Okay.
So your week was just work,
pretty much. Stuff I can't like exactly just like. I mean, like the stuff that was like interesting and all that kind of stuff is also the stuff I can't talk about. So, yep.
I'm just trying to fill time with like how you've been. And you are not receptive. You could be like, oh, I've been getting stoned just, and playing more Disney Dreamlight.
I mean, I have, but like...
But none of that's new. That's just standard.
Although I did actually notice something really interesting. Well, I thought it was really interesting last night. So, believe it or not, Aki and I are friends on Xbox. Even though we've never played anything together, I don't think we have.
Realize we were friends on there.
Or shut up. This is actually going to be a really nice thing. Anyway, it was like, Aki is like however many achievement points ahead of you. And I was like, oh, I'll, like, because Aki is also up on true achievements, but she doesn't let them track her. So I like actually really wasn't aware of what her gamer score was until last night. When all of a sudden Xbox is like, oh, you should check this out. So I did, and I was just like, holy shit, Aki has like 1K'd so many of the games that she plays.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I was just
I do my best to 1K everything. I'm obsessed with
it. Yeah, or 100%. And I was just like, holy crap, this is like impressive, like the list of games that you were doing. And then I was just like, Yeah, like it, I'm not gonna lie, it was like vaguely depressing, like going down like the list, and I'm just like, oh, there's like three games on here that I've got more of a gamer score than her on.
And let me guess, all because of DLC, right? They probably don't own the game. It's probably
no, DLC. It was just they were games that like you just haven't finished. I don't even remember what they are, but it was like, yeah, and the thing is, like, any lead I had over you is like double digits. Like, it's not even like a
That's probably once that I got like one or two achievements in, and then was like,
yeah, and then never touched again. Yeah,
yeah,
and then but yeah, I was just like, oh wow, I'm impressed by this. So
yeah, I know
that was my weekly let's try to say something nice about Aki thing.
Okay, now, so, Aki, and you know that nice did
bring
Jacob.
A smile to my face, so thank you. That was very nice.
That was probably just gas, but
no, I had a plenty of that earlier.
You had a plenty of that earlier.
Yeah, I had a plenty of gas earlier. So much
gas a plenty.
Yep. I had Burger King, and that gives me lots of toots. It's so good, though. I love
Burger King. Aki, now it's your turn to say something nice about Jacob.
Aki's just going to be like, Jacob makes carbon dioxide for plants, which would be nice if all the plants in this house weren't made out of plastic.
I don't like, have any plastic plants in my house, even. That Jacob can be nice when he wants to be. Is that a good one? Because I don't actually pay a lot of attention to
anything I say.
Well, no, not to anything you say, because I do listen when you do your reviews, vaguely anyways. I'm not, usually all that wrapped, but that's because most of the games you review just aren't my kind of games, or else I'd be the one doing them. but... I mean, realistically, I grab the games I'm interested in.
I don't know. I think we have a pretty good ratio as to who reviews what, or at least Joe hasn't told me no, sorry, Aki called that one. Like, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, see all the write ups, so you know who does what.
Yeah, and yeah, so but- most of the games we're after, I go after specific ones, and I assume you don't go after them, and all the ones you're after, I'm just like, not my kind of game. So it's like
he's like, no, I don't want like, was, cars.
No, yeah, God,
there
no.
There was actually like a handful of games, but I was just like, oh, I didn't realize like Aki was like this into it. Like, I mean, you 1K like or 100%ed Halo 3.
I fucking love the.
And what the heck else surprised me?
The only Halo game I haven't 100%ed, and it's just because I just haven't bothered to play the multiplayer, is the brand new one. I've 100%ed literally every other one that's been on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Except for the tactics games, because I don't play RTSs. But guess who's all the running me
through
ones.
The campaigns?
I can do that.
Sweet.
Oh, nice.
I can't do it on Legendary All Skulls, because I had someone else help me with that. But yeah, I can run you through them.
You can't do Legendary All Skull?
No.
Loser.
I might be able to do that on like ODST, but I don't think that one requires that, so it's not very useful.
I'm not gonna lie, ODST was my favorite Halo game out of all of them.
For me, I think it was really like I really liked
you and cut I out with like every time
I
you
swear
said
to God
what
every single time yeah every single time you're about to say the title you cut out I really like and I really liked and I liked
I really liked Reach because I really liked Kat, the sniper lady in it who gets shot in the head by a sniper through her
spoilers,
perfectly functioning
Jesus.
Helmet. Yeah, for an ancient game. and I didn't know the story of it. So for me, when I went into that, I think that might actually have been my first Halo game even.
Oh,
I didn't know anything, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. So I didn't have the story knowing that Reach was going to fall. So like that was really impactful. And I was like, oh, my character died. That's not cool. What the fuck? But yeah, that I think that one was my favorite. And then I think ODST was probably my next one. And then most people are going to hate me for this, but 5, I think, was my next one after that. I really liked 5.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the idea of you just going into stories without knowing, like, like what's actually going to happen and then just being crushed by everything. Like you go into Lord of the Rings, like, oh man, Sean Bean's in this. Oh, I can't wait to see him in the next two movies too.
Yeah, you know, oh, Game actually, of Thrones,
Sean Bean is in this. I can't wait to watch.
Yeah. Oh man, he's going to be throughout the rest of the show, right?
I actually went into Lord of the Rings. I hadn't read the books in so long that I didn't really know any of the story. And I was like, oh, I really liked his character. I was like, oh, that's cool. He's going to be a new Ranger character. This is going to be great. And yeah, that sucked. It's like, oh, there went the one character I really, really liked. He had a good arc and everything.
Watches My Girl. It's just like, oh, Macaulay Culkin's popular. Nothing bad's going to happen to him.
I don't actually know that movie. So I would go into that blind, too. I don't know what that is.
Well, I mean, you're old enough now. You won't, like, you know, you won't have your childhood ruined by it.
Yeah, I couldn't have my childhood shit ruined anyways.
Huh? Probably. No, I filled up water.
Oh, I was like, I hear water. Are you washing your hands? Did you poop?
Nah. No, you didn't hear me.
Yeah, no, I can't have my childhood ruined because that would imply I haven't already had every aspect of it ruined long, long ago.
Yeah, Rule 34 does that to a lot.
Yeah. That specifically, I found something that never should have existed, specifically from one of those, and I was like, I wasn't looking for this. I don't know why this is here, but I hate everything now.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, we're not going to press for all details, but what series was this from?
I'm just going to remind you again, I wasn't looking
Of course. Yeah, totally.
No, I seriously wasn't. I believe you.
Does my voice not convey
that? It was
that?
Bambi. And it was disgusting. And I was like, what the fuck? Why is this here? Who even made this? What is wrong with you people?
What? Why?
I don't know why it was there. It made no sense.
What were you looking for?
I'm pretty sure I was looking up Beauty and the Beast. I really like Belle. So you're
looking up Rule 34 about Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Yeah. I look up Rule 34 of all sorts of stuff. I thoroughly enjoy it. But no, I don't know why Bambi popped up, but it was Zombie and it was Bambi and Thumper, and it shouldn't have existed. It was disgusting.
I'm not going to lie. Like, do we talk about how I found out that my father-in-law occasionally pops in and listens?
Oh, please do tell us. I don't remember that.
Yeah. So like,
oh God, this is terrible.
So like my father-in-law, like a month or two ago, like, you know, just messaged Jess about like, you know, like Jacob was talking about like edibles on the show. Like, are you like aware of this? And like, she was like, yeah, like blah, blah, blah. And they had a conversation and that's fine. Like, as like, she explained everything, but then like, he was just like, yeah, you know, it's not a bad show. I mean, it's informative. Like, you know, I like, it would help me make some decisions about video games if I cared to actually ever play any video games. But yeah, so apparently like, he'll just like, if he's got nothing to do, like some evenings, like he'll apparently like toss on like a Thursday episode and see what I'm up to.
That means
I am so sorry.
I am so sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, because the thing is, he's just like, oh, like it sounds like they're a fun group of people. Like, I mean, they curse a lot, but you know.
Yes, but, you do.
They don't. I do.
But, So I found that out, and so now my father-in-law is probably going to be like, huh, I wonder what Rule 34 is.
And my father-in-law,
if you are listening to this episode, please, for the love of God,
just don't,
man, please.
When he heard Bambi, he was probably like, oh, that's probably some hunting stuff, huh? Rule 34, is that you should wear an orange vest when hunting? No, that's not good, Lord.
Yeah. No.
So this Denver, did he hear to. The show raid sound?
probably, yeah.
Wow. Wagga says, yep, he needs to know.
None shall be spared.
What else? You know what else we need to know? We need to know some news from the week.
Sure. I don't know any.
Games with gold for March were announced.
Ooh, what are they?
Yay.
There's three of them.
Ooh, that's nice. Since they got rid of four and went to two, it's nice that they brought it back up to three.
They threw us a bone and gave us one extra one. So for the entire month of March, we're getting Trooberbrook in Sudden Strike 4 Complete Collection. And then from March 16th through April 15th, we're getting Lamentum.
I don't know a damn thing about any of those games.
Sudden Strike is, I believe, an RTS. Game, and Trooberbrook, I own it. Like, I'm never going to get around to playing it, but I think it's like an exploration point and click game.
Exploration kind of game.
Okay. I think. I'm not
Carnage
sure.
Carnage says it's a walking sim adventure game. So yeah, walk exploration.
Okay, that might be a game for me then.
And then I don't know about the other one.
Well, it looks
Lamentum. I'm not sure about that one either.
Well, the cover of it has a dude with an axe and a shotgun, so I'm hoping it's as violent as it looks like it might be.
Guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
March 16th, when it becomes part of Games with Gold.
Well, I was going
to find out in a few years.
As I was saying to Joe, originally True Achievements had, because it's Sudden Strike 4 Complete Edition, and initially they only had the European listed, and I was just like, oh, well, it's cool that, you know, it's a game that I don't own, but I'd also would have appreciated, like, a game that, like, I couldn't easily get a key for $5, like, you know, on the gray/black market. Yeah,
don't buy gray market. That's bad. Don't talk about gray market.
Anyway, on the plus side, it's the complete edition, so don't buy the keys. Just get your game and go.
Don't buy gray market. Games leaving Game Pass were announced. We don't know what's joining yet. It's the whole, they're a week off of what they should be announcing them. Like, they should have announced them this week, but we're going to get them next week. But the games leaving Game Pass, we found out, and there's a bunch leaving. We got F1 2020, Kentucky Route Zero, Young Souls, Undertale, Guardians of the Galaxy, Paradise Killer, the Nonary Games, and Goat Simulator.
All of that's leaving?
Yes.
I was a little surprised by that.
Good fucking games.
Yeah, they're all leaving by March 15th.
Damn.
Don't forget, you get a 10-20% discount off games on Game Pass if you want to pick them up, or you could just throw them on a wish list and wait for a bigger sale.
Yeah, and if you want the Nonary games, they do go on sale fairly often. I don't know about the rest of that stuff, but I know those do at least.
Guardians of the Galaxy I've seen pretty cheap, so you could probably wait for a better sale on that one.
I'm surprised so much it's leaving.
Or you know what you could probably wait for? Come September when Avengers is going to get delisted. Because that two-pack with Guardians and Avengers, I'm sure that'll go down in price.
There's a two-pack?
Yeah.
I'll be damned. An upcoming expansion for Elden Ring was announced as being in development called The Shadow of Erdtree. They just casually announced that on like a Tuesday morning at 3 a.m., in a tweet. Like, this huge news. People are dying for news of more Elden Ring, and they're just like, it's happening.
Well, wait. It was like 2 a.m. where? Like, that would be Japan time, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Our time
versus Japan? So, like, yeah, so it was probably like 10 a.m. over there, or like noon over there. I don't freaking know. True. I don't know the time zone difference. I mean,
it's still like in a tweet. There was no like big hype about it. It was just casually announced.
Dude, Mortal Kombat 12 accidentally got leaked.
That wasn't announced though.
I mean, it. Right, but whatever.
Wiener.
Square Enix. What is with you and wieners today?
I don't know. He's a wiener. Square Enix is merging Luminous Productions into Square Enix Company effective May 1st. So, Forspoken did great.
Yeah. No. Well, good thing it only released on, what, PlayStation?
Yeah, PS5. Actually, it's on the Windows 10 store. So you could buy it on, like, your Windows PC, and get gamer score and Xbox achievements. You just can't play it on Xbox because Sony's a bunch of wieners.
Dickheads.
Yeah. It's a wiener. It just works so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rumbleverse is officially dead. The servers went offline this week, and I got a refund for my shit today.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah. I still have
nice
yet.
Like, forgetting that.
I never fired it up, so.
No.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's a, that one, it shouldn't have gone. It deserved more time to have a life. Like, it only lasted 6 months. Like, years of work went into that game for 6 months.
Yeah, but that means that they have to have serious money issues that just, like, the bills were not getting paid. So. Yeah,
if only they had a parent company like Epic. Oh, oh wait.
Well. Yeah, but I mean, Epic owns Mediatonic, right? Fall Guys?
Mediatonic? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all right, have you played Fall Guys lately?
Not in like 2 weeks.
Okay. They are still going on with the same damn season. Like, there's no end in sight for it.
Jeez.
People are online are complaining that they're at level 200. For the thing, and it's just like it's the same shit over and over again, and they're like, oh yeah, next season we're gonna start vaulting levels, and it's like, okay, but then you better be replacing it with like really good shit. And it's just like, honestly, I feel like Fall Guys right now is just on this like weird ass cruise control that it's been on since like November, where it's just like they're just floating by on costume packs. Like, there's no innovation, actual innovation to the game, and it's just,
yeah, it feels that way.
Honestly, like, part of me wonders if, like, Fall Guys is, like, going to get shut down, like, at the end of the year or something. I don't know.
I think it still has a big enough player base to keep going.
It just feels like it's dead. Like, I mean, like, it. Yeah, everyone's still playing it, but it doesn't, I don't know, like, it just doesn't hold interest like it used to.
I think a lot of it is they don't feel the pressure that they have to put out more content because people are still playing. So like, it's like a double-edged sword. If you push out too much content too quickly, people will get burned out. If you don't push it out quick enough, people get bored, but it seems people are still playing. So it can't be that boring. Like, I don't know. I can agree that I don't play as much as I used to. And when I do play, it's like 2 or 3 runs instead of 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Root Beer's saying that something big will probably drop soon, but we'll see. Carnage saying if they added new achievements, I would go back. I don't know. Anyway, The Wolf Among Us 2 has been pushed to next year to avoid crunch.
Okay. So
that's good.
I was like, none of us were like, ah, shit, I can't wait to play that this year.
I didn't even expect it this year.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't actually expect it.
Like, you think they're going under again?
No, but it's just like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, part of me wonders if we're just going to get like all like the old Telltale things just re-released by other companies. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, Sam and Max got handled by Skunk Ape. Or wait, Skunk Ape is the redone version of Telltale. Wait, isn't there a new There is, like, a new Telltale games out there, right? And then there's also Skunk Ape, which is
former members of Telltale Game. Yes.
Right, and they're the ones who... Skunk Ape is the one who did Sam and Max, and it's just like, I don't know. I kind of wish that they'd just like at least do remastered versions of like Game of Thrones and Jurassic Park, like those games, so they'd at least be available again. But
I don't know. I don't see Jurassic Park happening just because that was on a 360 game.
Yeah. I mean, so was Sam and Max.
Yeah, but those were like remade, weren't they?
I don't know.
Like, if nothing else, they were totally up-resed and shit. Like, anyway. Last bit of news I have is Metroid Fusion is going to be joining the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack on March 8th.
Very nice. I think people will be happy about that.
I'm excited. Probably. I think that makes the whole 2D Metroid franchise available on the Switch right now. So, okay, I got one more thing. Knockout City, new season started this week. And Aki, it's, you got your 1,000.
Right? Yeah, I saw that. I think that was one of them, too, that I was just like, oh, wow, go Aki on this.
Like, you still have time. Even if you start today, you have enough time to actually beat it. It won't be easy, but you can do it.
Yeah, but I also have to care then.
This is true.
Yeah, but frankly, this is a good game to care about.
Yeah, it's not a bad game.
But you know what also is a good game? Disney Dreamlight Valley.
God, but that's going to be around after June. Knockout City won't.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to be able to earn my little dapper rabbit with the top hat. So, JK, I already did.
Of course you did.
Of course, I know. I'm working on owning my own castle.
I wish I could roll my eyes harder.
Cool. Why? That's kind of cool. Owning your own castle? Hell yeah!
I don't know. I don't know if it's a skin for your house or if it's like a totally new setup. But yeah, you can then just live in a castle. So
I approve. I want a castle.
There you go.
Had ponies when I was a kid. Now I want a castle. I think this is necessary for me.
I think we know what Aki needs. My horse and me too.
What?
For Xbox 360.
Are all the achievements obtainable in it?
Yes.
Yeah, of course they are.
Fuck it, why not? I don't care.
Oh god.
Well, Jacob,
it can't be that bad. When you need to
sell.
Oh yeah, that reminds me too. Yeah, my kids are in competition with Aki over Lego Ninjago and Lego Star Wars 2, which I was just like, oh man, my kids really need to like up their game on this because Aki's got a 1,000 on Lego Star Wars 2. I'm not sure about Ninjago though. I think you do.
I think I have the full 1,000 on that. I'm actually surprised. I know in one of the
I'm surprised Star you don't Wars have
ones, I don't have a 1K in because I can't get.
You don't some have of it. The,
well, no. Well, yeah, there's that too. But one of them I do have. I don't have the 1K in because I can't do a couple of the speeder missions or whatever, the little vehicle missions.
Oh, the fucking racing ones? Oh.
No, they're not racing. They're just really.
Like the speeder bikes or the pod racer. Yeah, I'm fucking those fucking levels.
Yeah, like there's one in Hoth. So it'd be episode 4, I guess.
5.
Or 5. I can't go through that entire level without taking damage, and you have to do that for all of those types of levels where it's just a vehicle level, so invincibility doesn't fucking help you. And I think there's like 2 of them that I still haven't been able to complete, maybe 3. And it's irritating as shit, to be honest. I just want it done, but I quit playing it for a while.
You could probably like hire my kids to do it for like take care of it for you. They'll just gladly sit there and play the Lego games.
Nice. I do need to get more of the Lego games. I do really enjoy playing those. Those are pretty fun.
I was going to say, I was a little surprised that you didn't have more.
All of them I have were either games with gold or ones that were given to me, either for review or just because people had extra keys. Gotcha. I've never actually bought one. I'm a cheapskate.
Nice.
As we're all aware.
Unless it comes to Gunpla.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that because that'll hurt my feelings.
So anyway, any news either of you have?
I have news.
What do you have?
Movie news?
Yes.
All right.
It's not Sonic, though.
Well, I can deal with that. I assume they're not going to make another Sonic for a while.
I think it comes out next year, doesn't it?
A new Sonic?
Yeah, I thought it did. Or it's gonna. Because we're also supposed to get the Knuckles show.
I'm like, less excited about a show, but
well, it's like a limited series on Paramount Plus.
Oh, okay, that might be doable then. I might like.
Yeah,
that.
It's just going to be a show featuring Knuckles, with Idris Elba still voicing him.
Okay, then I'll probably like it because I really like it, Idris Elba.
He is hot man cakes.
Yes, he is.
But anyway, game or movie that we're talking about just announced today. Dead by Daylight is getting a movie.
Blumhouse just posted that in chat, and He's like, I bet this is what he's talking about.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, because I posted it to the Facebook page like 2 hours ago. Come on, guys.
No one looks at our Facebook page. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
we had a like today. Thank you very much.
Oh my! Was it your father?
No. My dad just knows to stay away. No, my father-in-law is not on Facebook because he doesn't like social media. But
understandable and reasonable, quite frankly.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Like, the older I get, the more I'm just like, yo, fuck this shit. Yeah.
there's a reason why I haven't recreated my Twitter.
Because they won't let you.
Oh no, I can get around that. That's not hard to get around. Not that I would get around that. That's against the rules. But
you should get around it. We need to tag you for the fucking episodes.
At some point, maybe I'll create something. I'll create like an Instagram or something for my Gunpla models, and then you can just link to that.
I was gonna say that's actually what I do with Instagram. I post pictures of Star Wars action figures in my collection.
Yeah, my neighbor suggested me make one for my Gundams, and I was like, oh, that's a good idea. I never would have thought of that, because I just don't use most social media, so the thought of Instagram never crossed my mind. I was like, oh, that's actually a good idea. I'm lazy. I haven't gotten around doing it.
You being lazy? What?
Chugging.
Yeah.
No way.
So what other news?
I think that was it, to be honest.
Good job. Aki, anything?
I don't know. I'm quickly trying to bring up the Facebook page.
Dick joke. News already talked about. Dick joke.
Beat that game, but... We already said Scrim that.
Pinball's been showing off the Foo Fighters pinball machine.
Oh,
have you seen that? Yeah, there's going to be three different versions of it. There's a limited edition, which is limited to 1,000 copies worldwide. There's a pro version, and then there's like a regular version. But they were showing off the pro model today, which you can look at on the SML Podcast Facebook page. Or you could just go to the Stern Pinball website, which is probably easier and better looking.
Yeah, better.
Better maintained.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, somebody pointed out that everyone who was featured in Backyard Baseball has now retired. all five of us who remember those games.
We're old.
Some would say ancient, even.
If you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, we're going to get 3 views.
Yeah, I got nothing, because at this point it's all shit-posting memes. So
yeah. Ready for reviews then?
Yep.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is Wild Hearts, developed by Koei Tecmo Games, published by Electronic Arts, released February 17th on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $69.99. Wild Hearts is a unique twist on the hunting genre, where technology gives you a fighting chance against fearsome beasts infused with ferocious power of nature itself. Take on these creatures alone or hunt with friends in seamless co-op. Jacob, tell us about your time with Wild Hearts.
So I was kind of interested in this because, you know, like when they announced it like last year or the year before that as like, you know, a more Western take on the Monster Hunter idea. Plus, also, I like Koei Tecmo's Dynasty Warriors. So I figured it would actually be closer to Dynasty Warriors, which it's not. But whatever. So you are playing this monster, like this monster hunter guy.
You're playing a monster hunter who hunts monsters, but this isn't Monster Hunter.
And so like the story starts off as a tutorial. You know, you learn the different movements. And I will say this, one of the nice things about this is that if you're like me, who found the last Monster Hunter game to be, you know, you can tell it's a good game, but it's just not really for you, and it's way too complex for people who have no idea what the hell's going on in this genre. Then Wild Hearts, you may want to give a look to. And thankfully, this thing has like a 10-hour demo. So with the tutorial, Wild Hearts actually takes the time to be like, hey, this is how you do this. this is where this is found. We're going to hold your hand for a little bit. Meanwhile, Monster Hunter was way more like, all right, here's this, and this is in this menu, and you have to do this, and go fuck yourself. Go. Wild Hearts definitely takes, it's not casual, but it's definitely
approachable.
Yeah, there's definitely definitely more approachable to people who want to like dip their toes into the water. But yeah, so you learn how to do all the different moves and the fighting styles and stuff like that. Now it's time to go hunt monsters. And your first real big one is this guy who like smashes through this wall and then just absolutely kicks the shit out of you.
Rage
and
every single tail. Time,
and every single bitch. Time that you're going to go after this guy, he's just going to keep kicking the shit out of you more and more. But at the same time, you're just like,
I can't wait to see a PC mod where they change Rage Tail to the Kool-Aid Man and he just busts and he's like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. and so like there's an actual story to it, there is a plot of like, you know, here you have to help this woman, you have to help these people, and there are side quests throughout. There's more monsters to hunt. There's a lot to this game, but damn, it is beautiful.
That's actually one of the contentious things I've seen online. Is a lot of people feel that the visuals in this game are really subpar for what they should be.
I mean, first off, it's the first one in this series. It's also two companies that don't work together, really. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know, I just kind of went in there with more expectation of, to me, it felt like they were more worried about like making the game presentable and accessible for everybody than worrying about like, you know, I mean, because if we're going to go graphics, you know, if we're going to compare graphics, Monster Hunter versus Wild Hearts, like Monster Hunter is going to win in this. I mean, it like there's just no two ways about it. Like,
well, it depends on Monster Hunter game too. Like Monster Hunter,
I'm talking about the latest one.
The new one, I don't think would win over Wild Hearts because it was originally a Switch game.
I thought the environments looked a lot prettier in that game, but anyway, Wild Hearts.
I think the bottom line is both games could look better. I mean, this one, it's bright, it's colorful, it's eye-catching. If you pay attention to the details, it's not as good as it could be, but at an overall glance, it looks serviceable, at least. I can agree with that. It looks pretty solid.
I mean, but at the same time, you're really not supposed to be looking at the landscape. You're supposed to be hunting out for monsters and stuff like that. So it's, I don't know, but I also liked the character creation with it, like how they had the story to go along with it, and the creepy old guy, and then you start building your guy. And unfortunately, Joe and I never got to do multiplayer together, so. I did
dabble with it last night. I tried doing a few hunts. Got our asses kicked, obviously, but it worked as well as I could hope it to, where you just hop online, you go to a campfire, and you say you want to connect online, and you find an event, and you jump in, and you hunt a monster, then you die.
A lot.
Yeah. is the name of the game.
Wild Hearts. Yeah, I appreciate that they give you so much healing liquid in the game. You could take about 2, 3, maybe 4 hits before you're down from a big monster. So after 2 hits, you're probably going to hit a healing potion. They give you 10. So, you know, they're fairly lenient with how much they give you. I was finally able to take Rage Tail down and start improving my equipment and stuff. I'm enjoying my time with this game, but it still has me wanting.
Like for me, it's just like, as I played it by myself, I continuously thought like this would be better with other people.
Yeah.
Like it's very much like, much like Monster Hunter Rise, it's very much a multiplayer game. Like,
yeah,
you could do single player, but
it's better with friends.
Right. So
And then you also have to worry about the whole, like, now we're in $70 game territory.
Yeah, that's true. I think this might be the first $70 game I've had to review.
Well, it is $70, so what's your verdict?
Like, if you are new to this genre and you were like, I don't know which one to get, Monster Hunter Rise or Wild Hearts, I would recommend that you start off with Wild Hearts. I'm not thrilled that it's a $70 game. I think it looks beautiful, but at the same time, I mean, Joe is right. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not going to be winning any awards this year at, you know, on Spike TV.
Jesus.
But, you know, it's, I enjoyed my time with it. I would wait for a sale on this. Cause I mean, I'm not really, as I said, I'm not really a fan of like the $70 price tag on it. I mean, yeah, if it was 60, I would have been like, yeah, definitely. But, I don't
Advice that we could give with this one is it's in EA Play and it has a 10-hour trial. Yeah. If you have EA Play on PlayStation or PC, or if you have Game Pass Ultimate, which includes EA Play, you got a 10-hour trial, so use it.
Yeah, and you can check it out there, and that'll really help you determine which one you really want to go with. Yeah. So,
all right, next
game. But I enjoyed it. So.
Yeah, me too. We need to play together, though. Like, we need to revisit this.
You need to meet Lightning Brad, my my hero.
I don't remember what I named my kid. Might be Stabby McLee.
my guy was made as like a dumb jock character. Very much, he looks very much like Jackie Bryant from Virtua Fighter. But he has this voice actor going for him. It's like, yeah, let's do stuff. And so it's like, it's just him constantly getting like the shit kicked out of him. He's like,
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like, yeah. So that's Lightning Brad.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is Scars Above, developed by Madhead Games, published by Prime Matter, released February 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $39.99. Scars Above is a challenging sci-fi third-person action-adventure shooter. That's a lot of words. Combining the rewarding feel of overcoming difficulty with a compelling and intricate story set in a mysterious alien world to explore. Some things were not meant to be discovered. Jacob, tell us about your time with Scars Above.
Yeah, that is apt. Some things were not meant to be discovered. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed the game. But yeah, so Scars Above, I have a lot to say about this game, and hopefully I'm going to be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Eloquent.
Coherent. No.
Coherent. Thank you.
You're failing.
Thank you. So it is a sci-fi shooter, kind of, I mean, it's a little roguelite, kind of, not really, but anyway, so it's a sci-fi game. You're on the spaceship and your crew is like the first that's about to run into this huge alien like mass that is out in the middle of nowhere. You guys start running scans and, you know, you're like preparing for like any kind of like possible first contact stuff. And then everything goes to shit and you have no idea what the hell has happened. You wake up on this alien world. It is terrifying. And I mean like literally terrifying, 'cause I played this, I was ripped as hell and
shocking.
No, like I was absolutely ripped as hell and I'm just like, and my character, like she wakes up on the planet and I swear to God, it is like the most alien thing that like you've ever seen. Like it is this big desolate desert, like, you know, nothing.
Alien planet is alien.
No, shut up. No, shut up. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't look like the University of California, Berkeley campus on Star Trek that shows up as every like single, you know, alien planet. Okay. Like that's what I'm talking about. Like this thing, just like, it looks like nothing you've seen, like nothing is right. Like everything's out of place. Like shit is floating in the air. Like the sky is like dark and black, you know, like storms are happening all over the place. Like, yeah. So anyways, you have no idea what the hell's going on, what happened, and you have to piece that together. You have to stay armed. You have to like keep up ammo. You have to try to find like the other members of your crew. And if you can't find them, at least piece together what happened. And then you start realizing like you thought you were only out for like 5 minutes, maybe. Apparently, some of your crew members have been on the planet for like months. And so, yeah. And
how did you survive that long?
I don't know, because that's the thing. I'm still playing the game, and it's just like it is just wild. Like everything about this is just wild. And like, as I said, like I'm playing this completely stoned. And I like every once in a while I'd have to stop and then like play it the next night sober, like just so that I could understand like what new game mechanics were like were being introduced, and then go back to it. But it's just like, holy crap. Like, the thing is, it's like, it's not like it's a mind fuck as in like, you know, it's presenting you as like truly like fucked up shit. Like, you know, you're watching like, you know, a polar bear rip open your grandma or something like that. It's not like that. It's just like, you have no memory. Nobody's around you. Like, there are barely any other aliens. Like, the world is vast. Like, you like, it's just there for hundreds of miles. Like, you have no idea where you're going. There's alien ghosts that show up and are trying to guide you. And then that whole thing about like some things were not meant to be discovered. Yeah. So if you stray off the path, yeah, sure. You could totally like, you know, fight some aliens or like find memory cubes, which will hopefully like build up your skills and stuff like that. But you stray off that path, I swear to God, the game punishes the shit out of you with its fights. And the save points are, I don't want to say that they're few and far between, but they're few and far between. And like that becomes one of the more aggravating things, because like a lot of like the alien beasts on this planet, like they spit venom. And if you don't, like if your med packs aren't working, or like you just can't run to a thing quick enough, like you have to like keep your character running, so like the venom like doesn't get into your bloodstream or something like that. And it's just like, and then you're just racing for the next save point, just so then like hopefully you can save it before you die, which I did a lot. And also like, and the crazy thing too is that it's like, it's not really like survival horror in like the Resident Evil sense or anything like that. It's just, you're exploring shit and you just got fucked up. Like, that's all it is. Congratulations. Nature's a bitch. But yeah, like, The story is crazy. The gameplay itself is kind of Mass Effect-ish, to give you an idea, in terms of like the gun, like not so much like gunfights, but like, you know, as you're running around shooting stuff, like that's how I thought of it. Like it felt very much like, you know, since we're all waiting for Mass Effect 5, Scars Above is like a nice little side story for all this. And yeah, it's just like you keep going back for more and just punishing yourself, trying to like unlock the mysteries of this damn planet and figuring out where the fuck all your crew members went. But this shit's wild and I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Cool. Well, it's $39.99. What are your thoughts?
$39.99, hell yeah. I'm just gonna warn you though, like there are some parts that are just stupidly frustratingly difficult. And if you're having issues with that, then maybe try staying on the path, or like try to figure out whether you actually are on the path. and that's the other thing too. I'm not sure whether you can return to all these places later on. Like, I have no freaking idea. So it's just like, I don't know whether I'm going to have a chance to like go after like all these like little side areas like later on after my character's gotten stronger to kick ass again. So it's like, you really have to make the decision, like, are you going to risk getting fucked up constantly, or are you just going to have like a nice story where you're getting fucked up occasionally? Like, I don't know, but for $40, fuck yeah. And if you're a fan of Mass Effect, definitely check it out.
Cool. And if you can go back and listen to that entire review and count exactly how many times Jacob said the word like, you will win a free game.
It's okay. Solitaire 3. Yeah, but that's going to be Solitaire 3D. So,
it is.
Like, don't get hyped up, guys.
God damn it. All right. I will add this to my wish list. This game actually sounds good.
Yeah, it looks really good, too.
It is. Yeah, I was really surprised by this. I ended up talking to one of my coworkers who I haven't talked to in like a year and a half from my previous job. And I was just like, dude, you got to be checking this thing out. He's like, oh, nice to hear from you. And okay. So, yeah.
Cool.
Go check out Scars Above.
All right. Next up, Arcadia Fallen, developed and published by Galdra Studios. Released February 22nd on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $24.99. Arcadia Fallen is a role-play visual novel where your choices shape the personality of your character. Will you be shy, bold, or the one forever making jokes? Aki, I'm guessing bold and jokes.
No, I am the kind and caring one.
Bullshit.
I always go.
You're full of shit on that.
Hey, I never said that me as a human being is that way.
Okay, fair.
Because I only play Paragon. That's just.
Aki, maybe you should try being a Paragon in real life.
I can't. I'm too much of a bitch for that. I thought you'd know that by now. But okay, yeah, no. So this is a mythical world. And, you know, people on this place, there was a fight way in the past with some heroes that were seemingly all mages against this evil witch, and they beat her, and then they developed this place, and now for some reason people hate magic and magic users, including mages and everything else, and it doesn't really explain any of that all that thoroughly. It doesn't make any sense, so let's ignore it from now on. You play as a alchemist's apprentice. You get to choose your character's name, your character's pronouns, whether they have a masculine, feminine, or androgynous build, one of two different hairstyles for each one, the color of their skin, eyes, hair, and clothing, etc., etc. Not super in-depth, but it's a nice little tiny bit of customization. It makes it a little, you know, more you for you. And told, hey, yeah, make this medicine with this alchemy table, which is basically a Minecraft building table, except for instead of a 3x3 block square, it's three circles that each have three items in it. they end up being little puzzles for you to solve. And this just is basically your way of being introduced to the puzzle element of this game. And basically, all you have to do is all three of these circles meet and form a little circle in between them. And you have to get symbols from all these circles into that match the symbol of whatever medicine you're trying to make or what have you. And then craft and boo, it's suddenly made. Woohoo, you're amazing. So that is the entire mechanic of all the puzzles you find, which I absolutely love, actually. But we'll hear more on that in a minute. And you're told, hey, yeah, no, we've run out of material, so go to the flower shop and get some more herbs for us. And on your way back, you get kind of, what's the word? Stabbed like a bitch. Yeah, that. You get tied somehow to a spirit, which is super duper ultra illegal as fuck to do, and immediately puts your head on a chopping block because, hey, fuck you, right? What else is new? And, you know, that's great. You're tied to it because it decided to save you from being, you know, stabbed like a bitch. So now your journey starts with this cute little spirit named, I think it's Mime. I think it's Mime. And she's this cute little thing. I absolutely adore her. You cannot romance her, which is super, super sad. and you're immediately attacked by some people and you're like, oh no. And then you meet new characters, and you just keep meeting new characters as you try to figure out why demons have suddenly poofed back into existence and are attacking your town, seemingly specifically. So you're trying to get to the bottom with it with your ever-growing eclectic little group of what the fuck. And, as the explanation on the game page stated, you're not choosing options that go down specific paths. Like, you're not like, oh, do we go right or do we go left or do we go up the mountain? You're not choosing stuff like that. Instead, you are legitimately choosing how your character's personality goes through, and occasionally actions she does, or he or they, whichever, which is really interesting. So you'll get three options usually every time you have conversations with people various times throughout it. You'll get three options, and you know, it'll just be like one sentence in each, but next to that it'll say like sad, concerned, angry, happy, joy, suspicious, et cetera, things like that, which tell you what she's feeling for that sentence. So you have an idea not only what she's saying, but how she's going to be saying it and how her personality goes with it. So you are really developing your character's personality, which is super cool. And there's a few characters you can romance. A really bitchy female knight who is tall, dark, and And then there's the aloof mage guy who is also on a chopping block. An outsider guy who looks like an alien and is really cool looking, and I really like him. And then this super interested in research mage lady who sees you as a guinea pig that you can apparently romance, even though she's a shitbag. And yeah, so your group of six, because again, there's also the spirit that's tied to you, are just trying to solve the ills of this corrupt, shitty kingdom by figuring out how to get rid of demons and why they're there in the first place. Yay! And you're doing it in this rinky-dink little racist fucking town. So that's great.
But are you having fun with it?
Yes, I am thoroughly enjoying myself with this. This does require a couple playthroughs because there are some achievements that are either or. I really like that you get to choose how your character speaks and how their personality works, because it does further, like, the other characters do mention things like that on occasion. Like, my character has been, every time I had kind as an option, I've chosen it, unless there was a blush as an option for romance options. And characters are like, you know, how nice you are is going to get you in fucking trouble one day. Or, you know, you have such a kind heart, I'm so glad I left this in your care, and so on and so forth. And if you went with different options, you likely would have gotten completely different answers. And that's just really interesting to me. Most of it is voice acted as well. Most of the lines by the other characters are partially to fully voice acted, which is really nice. All the voices are super well done, so all professional quality. Congrats to everybody. And I say that specifically because I've played plenty of games where not so good.
that's one area that indies seem to be lacking in is quality voice acting. You get not that a lot of the voice acting is bad. It's just quality wise, there's always so many different sounds. Like, someone sounds really crystal clear. Someone sounds like they're in a closet. Someone sounds like they're in a basement.
Exactly.
Someone in a hallway. Someone on a cell phone. You don't get good consistency.
Yeah, from how consistent this was, I wouldn't be shocked if they had an actual studio everyone came in and did their lines at.
Maybe.
This was done superbly. And yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. All the characters have great visual style to them. I thoroughly am impressed with this game.
Oh, well, it is $24.99. What are your thoughts?
Yes, this game should take you, they said your first playthrough should take 8 to 10 hours. So I think it's totally worth it. And you have plenty of replay value by making your character out to be different types. Like, you can be a complete bitch. You can be a scaredy cat. You can be happy. Like, it's great.
You want to be happy.
Yeah, there's so many ways you can play this game. And I'm totally for this.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, next up is Brock the Investigator, developed and published by Cowcat, released March 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $24.99. Brock is an innovative adventure mixed with beat-em-up and RPG elements. In a grim world where animals have replaced mankind, what kind of detective will you be? Get it, animals, so the investigator is a gator.
Yes, yes, he is.
Jacob, tell us about Brock.
So this game is a really interesting hybrid between point-and-click adventure and beat-em-up. Sorry, I've had this burp that I've been trying to get out like during all of Aki's review, so I kept muted. But of course, now that I'm going to review
my gaping butthole,
it wants to come up. So if I accidentally burp or throw up on the podcast, make sure you're recording.
Oh, but, I don't stop recording.
Part of me wants to be, but like part of me really doesn't want to be like the first person vomiting on the show. But anyway,
shout out to Dopey and Trivium Champ for the raids. We just got a bunch of new people listening, so they are here to hear about Brock the Investigator. Tell us about it.
So yeah, so as I was saying, it's a really cool mix between a point and click adventure and a beat 'em up. And as you may recall, you are an investigator, a detective named Brock, whose wife, or I think it's girl wife or girlfriend, like she died like about 10 years ago. And so you've been raising her kid all this time, and those memories still haunt you. And when you start up the game, the tutorial is actually inside of Brock's dream, that everything is on fire. And this is where you learn how to do the point and click stuff. You also learn how to do the brawling. And it's really interesting because you actually like have to like switch between the two. But what I thought was really neat is that as you're going through this game, like there's some parts that is just like, all right, well, if you're really having a hard time with the point and click, maybe just start beating the shit out of random items and see where that gets you. Or, you know, if you have to switch over to the beat 'em up side of things, stuff that you picked up during the point and clicks adventure parts, those could actually be used during the beat 'em up portions. And so it's a lot of you going through different areas, interviewing suspects, and also just navigating Brock's like life. And it's just, this is an oddly introspective, it's just something that you really need to check out. Like, I don't know if this is like, I don't know if, I mean, I like, I don't know if I feel like genre breaking is like too big of a title for it, but holy God, like this is an awesome marriage between point and click adventure and beat 'em up. And it just like, it works really friggin' solidly well. Like the devs took their time on this. Everything looks glorious. Like it's never a pain in the ass to switch between the two game styles. And on top of it, it's just like, if you're playing it as a point and click, it's a great point and click. If it's a beat 'em up, I mean, it's standard for what you like, you know, for like 90s 2D beat 'em ups like Streets of Rage and Final Fight and stuff like that. I mean, this is not going to like go replace Streets of Rage as like my favorite beat 'em up, but it's pretty damn serviceable at what it does. And honestly, like mixing the two together, it's kind of like mixing chocolate and peanut butter and getting a Reese's peanut butter cup in the end, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, it's just like the art's done, the voice or the.
The art style in this game. Yeah,
the art style is really well done. The voice acting I was surprised by, but at the same time, it is a point and click. But I've been playing enough indie point and clicks as of late that like I've been doing ones without a voice actor, so I was kind of surprised by it. But what also surprised me is that like I wasn't hearing like the same crap over and over again, because there have been point and click adventures where I had to put them on mute. But it's just like, this is just, it's a really well done point and click adventure game. First and foremost, in my books, I'd put it up there like alongside stuff like Full Throttle and The Dig from LucasArts in the 90s. Oh yeah, no, this thing is solid, and like, and it honestly deserves to be up with those games. So honestly, if you're a point and click adventure fan, you've really got to check this one out. Like, I'm pleased that this week I've had some really, really fucking good titles.
Cool. So 25 yeah. bucks. Your official verdict is
yes, absolutely yes. Like, cool. I mean, I don't want to give them ideas, but you should be paying more.
I'm also going to point out this is a fun game. I played the demo forever back on Steam, and it was really fun then too.
Any other thoughts?
Nope.
No, nothing.
I mean, apparently it's good on Steam too.
Yay!
Yay!
Next game, Merge and Blade, developed and published by Magic Cube, released February 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Steam for $9.99. Experience an addictive puzzle and massive auto battler in one game. The world's first puzzle auto battler game. Only your brain can save the world. Aki, are we all fucked with the description? Like, your brain saving the world?
Oh, no, we're fucked. Okay. We're so okay, totally, so. Utterly fucked.
Okay, so tell us, what is Merge and Blade?
Okay, this is a puzzle game where basically you're matching three, but instead of with, you know, symbols or candy or whatever, you're doing it with people. The people are, you know, farmers or civilians, knights, so on and so forth, and basically all you're doing is being like, yo, let's get three of you together. And they don't have to be in a line or anything. They just have to be connected to each other, which is really nice.
You can be like L-shaped or T-shaped, stuff like that.
Yep. And you can do more than three. Just, I don't think there's a point to doing more than three. And you can't really do more than four. I don't, at least not where I got to, because it gives you two people at a time that you move around kind of like Tetris blocks. And then you send them down and they land where they land. And once you get three or four of them touching each other, they combine into one new, more advanced unit.
Now, Thimber's saying you get more coins if you match more than three. So,
oh, I didn't, bonus I coins didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah. The when you combine multiple people, you get a brand new single unit. So, you know, the civilians, I think, turn into farmers, or maybe the other way. And then whichever ones that turns into the knight, three knights turn into something else, et cetera, et cetera. And the upgrades that you buy in this game are all just, hey, you know, your units, let's upgrade it so you can get a new unit. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a good idea. So, you know, you buy a brand new unit that you can turn things into. For instance, as I stated, they turn into the knight. That's the end of the line for you until you buy an upgrade. Then the knights will turn into something else. So it's not like a unit tree. Like that. Yeah.
And then archers, so, and then healers, and
yeah. So it's not a tree, sadly. Instead of, it's just a straight line. And that straight line kind of, what's the nice word for this? It sucks. Yeah. Because, you know, you're like, okay, well, upgrades. And it's in a linear tree. Obviously, every unit is better than the prior unit. That is wrong. Because you go from knights, which are a great boon from the other two, because it has more attack and more defense. And when you say, oh, the next one, you would expect it to have the same of one of those and more of the other, or more of both. Instead, it goes to the ninja. They attack faster. They, I think, do a little more damage. They have a chance to attack twice instead of once, but their health is less. And then you go to archers. They can shoot in a line. They die in a hit.
Yeah.
They die from an enemy fart in your general fucking direction. And that's like two upgrades beyond knight. You'd expect that unit to be significantly better than knight, but
see, but the archer is really good in a back line because they can shoot across other people.
True.
So you have to manage the placement of all your characters because when they go into the battle section, everyone groups over to the right.
Yeah, I that is the one mechanic I really abhor about this, because your units will go completely to where they fill up the entire right column when battle starts, no matter where they are, which means you might get units that you don't want in the front row. That's what that entire right column is. Yep. That's where all the enemies are going to crash into. You may not want some of the units that pop up there, and then you have to spend this a movement token to swaps, move them around, and you only have two of those to start with, and that doesn't guarantee you can move them fucking anywhere, really. I'd much rather they just be where they are and have the enemies filter down into them instead of them filtering to fill up the enemy spots.
See, but that's where the tactics come in. You got to be prepared for that. You have to.
I'm shit at tactics, so meh. Fuck that.
That's where the tactics and strategy come into play in a tactical strategy game with puzzles. Yeah, you got to manage where you're placing your troops. You want to kind of focus on the right hand side, but you also want to focus in the middle because you might get some of those later evolutions that are weaker and you don't want them in the front line. So you want to save the front line for when you get knights and ninjas dropping and not for when you have an archer about to form or you have a healer about to form. Because, as good as healers are, if they're in the front row, they're weak and you're screwed.
Yeah, they're going to die immediately. As stated, the units, they do die in the fight. So you really want those stronger units in the front, because all of them that survive continue to the next level, so you can upgrade them still. They have the same remaining health until I think they get a fresh health bar when you actually finish upgrading them to the next unit.
Yeah, but when they merge, they get a fresh health bar.
Yeah, but otherwise they stay damaged and eventually will die if you don't upgrade them. But that gives you more and more units to go to the end, and you really need that because every little level has multiple waves in it, basically. So you do a puzzle, you hit a wave, then you do the next puzzle with whatever units are left and new units coming in, go to the next wave, and you just keep doing that until the level's done. And each progressive wave is stronger and stronger, so you need to be upgrading. You need these stronger units. You need to not suck at this game. You need to have a brain. You need to not be me, basically.
The thing I love not this my strong game point. So much because it's such a distinct twist on match three puzzlers. I mean,
yeah,
it's such a cool different twist where they throw in the auto battling that it just keeps everything moving along, and it doesn't require a lot of input. It doesn't require a lot of attention during the battles. It just a lot of cheerleading. And depending on how your troops are, some swapping, but there's a lot more strategy that goes into this, and it is really, really cool. And the best part is it's on Game Pass.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice. See, so, when I thought of this, I was like, oh, a puzzling auto battler. Okay, I'll have to occasionally play a puzzle to get like an item or to give them a boost in battle or something, whatever. This is a lot more in depth.
Yeah.
than I was expecting it to be. So it's a little harder than what I was necessarily prepared for.
Yeah, but did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did thoroughly. It was a pretty good game, yeah.
Yeah, Thimber saying, are the devs Korean? When I first launched, it was in Korean. Yeah, when I first launched the game as well, I needed to go into the options and change the language setting. Hopefully they'll patch that to notice what your current region is and default to that language. But $10, what are your thoughts on Merge and Blade?
I think that's a good price point for it. I accept that as a price point. Cool. I think most people will probably get a kick out of this at the very least. I don't know if you got Game Pass,
give it a download. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. At least give it a try, folks. I think it's at least worth a try. And if it's for you, $10 is totally worth it.
Sounds good. All right, one final game to talk about tonight is called WARP, developed by Seven Raven Studios, published by Total Console, released February 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Your starship is thrown an endless parsec of distance from the solar system. Can you use the wormholes to come back to Earth in time to save the planet from a mysterious foe's attack? Jacob, tell us about your time with Warp.
So with Warp, it is a seemingly simple game that it looks like it's going to be a shmup or, you know, a bullet hell game. And it's at least not really at the very start, but it's a lot of you having to learn how to get your ship from point A to point B. You deal with gravity effects, and you also have to manage fuel, which I thought was kind of cool. Like when I first started, I was like, oh, all right, here's a challenge. And then like my ship regularly started exploding because I'd ran out of fuel before I could pick up more. And I was like, wow, this is not as fun as I thought it was going to be. And it's ends up being more of a puzzle game than anything. But as I said, you have to get from point A to point B. Occasionally there's aliens that you have to shoot, or like little gunnery turrets, like whatever. And the game just starts throwing like little things at you, like gravity wells and black holes and all sorts of other stuff. And I'm not going to lie, it was kind of fun, trying to like see if I could lead anything or like use the gravity well to like, you know, mess with the game. And if anything, all it really did is just shove me into walls and make my ship explode quicker. And Joe was just like, oh yeah, you're like, you know, this will be an easy 1K. Everyone's 1K-ing it on TA. And I'm still sitting at like 800 or 900 on this damn thing because it's just, no, this is not as easy as like telling me. And
I mean, you're close, so it isn't that too hard.
I don't know how far off I am, but it's just like, all right. As a warning to everyone, this is more of a puzzle game than a shmup. So if you're going in there expecting a shmup, you will be disappointed. But as like a, you know, as a cheaper puzzle game,
the biggest hurdle you're going to have with this game is the controls, because it controls like asteroids, and you have to be good at controlling that ship and managing the momentum. Gravity.
Right. And being able to like stop on a dime sometimes, and, you know, quickly turn your ship where it needs to be going. And I was able to do that sometimes. But I'm not going to lie, like eventually there gets to be points in the levels where I wish that there like, and I realize this is part of the difficulty of the game, is that like, I wish that there were save points, like at the, like a halfway point in some of these levels, because holy God, just like getting past like the first part and then having to redo it 20 more times was just such a big pile of fuck that. On some of these, and I was like, it just ended up becoming a game where it's like, all right, I'm going to fire up Warp until I get pissed off from dying so much, and then I'll go play another game I'm supposed to review. And then like 15 minutes later, I was off playing something else. It's not a bad game, but it's a frustrating puzzle game. I will warn you with that. Like, you're in for a challenge. It's not like, as I said, it's not bad. It's just really frustrating. Like, eh.
I just want to say now, I have 13 achievements out of 13, 1,000 points, in 22 minutes. That's all it took.
Okay, well, so Jacob's just bad at this. Okay.
All right, you know what? Shut the fuck up.
Am I wrong, motherfucker?
Got a point.
Probably not.
So, Warp is $5. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? At the very least, you're going to have a really, like, you'll have a 1,000 points you can supposedly get in 25 minutes, unless you're me.
Yeah, unless you suck.
Anyway. but otherwise, yeah, for $5, it's a, it's an amusing little game. Very challenging, though. But
and yeah. If you're on the fence about it, we're going to have some Switch copies to give away. So keep an eye on our Twitters, and us and Carnage are going to be doing a giveaway for that. And probably in the coming days, coming week, something like that. We'll figure it out. But yeah, keep an eye on our Twitter and you can win it for the Switch.
Cool.
Yeah. So
is that it?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Music. Why don't we play something from Inverse Phase off of the Treachery at Beatdown City soundtrack? Since we broke up the interview with Fuck You, we'll just do something less vulgar. But it's chiptune, so there's no actual word, so it's not vulgar at all. Yeah.
What if you run it through like a spectrograph and you see that there's like a picture of a naked lady on there, like during the middle of a song? Is that vulgar then?
Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Hey, I just asked a question. Like, that's something you should find out the answer to that.
Should I?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you got nothing.
It wouldn't be vulgar because most people couldn't do that, but.
And on top of it, I mean, like, what the hell else are you going to do?
What are we, Aphex Twin? Like, what do you want from us?
Hey, Doom actually had shit that shows up on a spectrograph or oscilloscope, whatever the fuck it's called.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's one, like pentagrams and 666.
Yeah. Huh.
If you load it up, it's crazy. It's pretty cool. But yeah, big thanks to Sean Alexander Allen from New Challenger for coming on, chatting about Treachery and Beatdown City with us. That will be out in April, late April on Xbox, and the update will be available on Switch and on Steam as well. Yeah, thanks to you two for being here. Thanks to Purnell for coming on and hanging out for the interview as well.
Well, thank you, Joe, for hosting us.
Aw, you're so silly.
No, I think that's actually the first time you ever thanked us.
Okay. That's
what enough. I seriously thank you
on the show. I think that's the first time you ever thanked us.
Every episode,
yeah, like literally almost. I don't know if it's been everyone, but it's been almost, if not
damn near everyone.
Seriously,
yes,
So you've been thanking me all this whole time.
Yeah, yes. Sleep beforehand, I think.
Either that or else it's also I just don't listen to Joe.
You crazy slut, you.
you would know that he was a slut, wouldn't you? You pervert.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, you're the one who got Bambi ruined for you with Rule 34. Shut up.
Hey, it's not like I was looking for it.
All right. Hold on. At least, all right, because we now know that it's Bambi, which characters were involved?
Bambi and Thumper, as I said.
Oh, I didn't know that you had said. Because you were like, oh, man.
Yeah, it was zombie. Like, zombie, Bambi, and Thumper, and it was not good.
Okay. All right. No, because I was expecting you to be like, yeah, it was actually the hunter and Bambi's mom. Like, and I was just like, oh, yeah, that would be something fucked up. Yeah, I could understand how that would ruin the movie for you, but apparently it's zombies. Okay.
There goes our age rating on YouTube again.
Yep.
Oh, shut up.